I just want to say it's great to be here again. It's been a little while. Brother Collins and I were talking about that on our trip to Jamaica, and I just want to get a little plug in there. We went about a month or so ago, a few weeks ago. And if any of you have any thought, the Lord, you know, puts it on your heart to go, I just want to say it is a huge, huge blessing. You know, talked to a lot of people about it, and everybody said, well, how was it? And I said, well, you know, if the people there got half as much out of it as I did, I promise you everybody's good, because it was a huge, huge blessing. You know, for a lot of different reasons. Wonderful people. It was wonderful to help, you know, to be in the clinic with Dr. Collins and help them physically. It was wonderful to be in service with them spiritually. I was thinking about our trip as I was listening earlier, and he was talking about, you know, getting called on the spot to preach this morning. There was a couple of times in Jamaica that I think the first I pretty well expected that I would preach the Sunday morning service when we got there, and I think I ended up preaching Sunday night and Monday evening as well. Everybody kept saying, yeah, you know, Brother Steve or I can't think of the other guy's name. Anyway, that they were going to preach, and I would look around as the service went on a couple times, and I never saw anybody else come in. So about the time they'd kind of look at me, and you know, it was a blessing. The Lord had put a message on my heart every time. Every time I got the call to preach, He had put a message on my heart to bring. So I'm thankful for that. Like I said, just thankful for the wonderful service. Services that we had for God and for watching over us. So just thankful again to be here. So if you guys want to turn with me, we're going to read a little bit of scripture here. Hebrews chapter 4, we're going to start in the 12th verse here. It's a fairly commonly heard and read scripture here that the Lord has given us. Hebrews 4:12. Says, for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. Which is saying, you know, this is not a guy who doesn't understand where we've been and what we've gone through. But was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. We're going to stop right there. We'll touch on a few other scriptures as we go through, but I want to stop right there in the book of Hebrews. As I was thinking about as I was studying, thinking about kind of my lesson and everything, I was thinking, you know, if I had a title, it would be, You Can Run, But You Can't Hide. And I didn't realize until I did a little bit of research that actually was he can run but he can't hide is actually a quote from Joe Louis, who's a famous boxer. They were asking him. Apparently, his opponent had said that, you know, what he was going to do to Joe is he was going to hit him and run. So they were asking Joe at this interview kind of what he was going to do and how he was going to handle it if he would chase him if he ran. And he said, you know, he can run, but he can't hide. And as I was meditating on our thoughts and on our scripture, that was what came to me. You can run, but you can't hide. But of course, as you guys can probably imagine, the scripture is not about us and a boxer, us and a person, but us and the Lord. You can run, but you can't hide. And I think this can have a lot of different connotations, not only not only for those that have not been saved, those that don't know the Lord, those that don't have a time and place, like I just talked about during my testimony, not only does it talk about those, because the same thing, the same truth is there as well, but also for us that have been saved. Of course, for those that have been lost, you know, you'll hear a lot of testimonies of folks who run for a long time. Or they have a certain idea in their head of exactly how it's going to be and what's going to happen. I think it was Brother Skinner, if I'm not mistaken, that used to tell, when he told his testimony, he would say, you know, there was this beautiful tree that sat in this beautiful field on a farm. And he said, I had a friend that got saved there, and I thought it was the prettiest place in the world. And he said, growing up in church, you know, I knew there would come a time and that I would come under conviction. And I said, you know, I'm going to get saved at that tree. That's where I'm going to get saved. And so many times, as you guys know, when people have that idea in their head, that doesn't happen. So people sometimes will come under this conviction. I think it was Brother Skinner also that used to say, you know, growing up, I wondered why in the world, when people came under conviction, why they were talking about running, why they wouldn't just go and get saved. Why in the world are these people so stubborn? Why don't they just do it? And he said, you know, when I came under conviction, that was the first thing that I did, was kind of ran the other way and kind of tried to skirt away from the Lord. But we know that when the Lord has convicted us, I'm thankful that I wasn't lost for very long. But when the Lord has convicted us and given us that burden, again, we can run, but we can't hide. The Lord will find us. The Lord will find us. Now, that doesn't mean that we have to submit to Him. I'm sure there are people that have come under conviction, had that burden, and passed away and never to come to know the Lord. But most of us know that no matter where we go, the Lord will find us. You know, you'll hear a lot of people say as well that they ran from their call to preach for a long time. And the same thing, you know, that no matter where they go, there's still that burden. There's still that something missing there. There's still something that the Lord has called them to do that they're trying to run from. But again, we can run, but we can't hide. As God's people, once we've been saved, once we have that time and place, and once the Spirit of the Lord can speak to us internally, once we have that line of communication that is open with the Lord, and He can talk to us and we can talk to Him, again, He can burden us with things. You know, whether we're not doing what we're supposed to do, or you know, whether we're doing things that, yeah, like I said, things that we're not supposed to do, or whether there's something He wants us to do and we're not doing it. Again, we can run, but we can't hide. Talking about here about the word of the Lord, it says it's a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. In the 12th verse, and then the 13th verse, it says, neither is there any creature that is not manifest in His sight. Or neither is there any creature that can hide. But all things are naked and open unto the eyes of Him with whom we have to do. We are all naked and exposed in front of the Lord every second of every day. You know, we can find security. We feel like we can find security. We feel like we can find a closet and go in and close the door. Or we feel like we can find our basement somewhere and we're there and nobody else is with us, but God is always there. We are always naked and open before the Lord, no matter where we go and what we're doing. We've been talking, of course, a lot about politics lately, as we just had our election. And as we know, there are a lot of politicians that you know, they smile real big and they shake a lot of hands and they say a lot of really nice things and they clean up really nice and they're in their duds when they're going up to speak and when they're going, like I said, to an event. But so many of them, behind the scenes, there's other things going on. And I guess I shouldn't just point fingers at them, because I think the same thing could be said in our lives so many times. You know, we can come to Wednesday night service, we can come to Sunday morning service, we can come to Sunday night service, We can go to every event that the church holds. We can go to nursing homes. We can go to jails. We can do everything in the world that the world thinks that we are right with the Lord and we're doing what He wants us to do. And we can fool people. We can fool man. We can fool our spouse. We can fool, you know, if we can fool our spouse, we can surely fool a lot of other people that don't know us and don't see us quite as much as our spouse. But we can't fool the Lord. The Lord knows. He knows our actions. He knows our words. And He knows our thoughts. And sometimes, you know, I think sometimes from our conscious mind, we think a lot about our actions. We think most of the time about our words, but a lot of times I think we forget that the Lord even knows our thoughts. Well, what we have to be really careful of is not to say, well, then the Lord knows what I'm thinking anyway, so I can think what I want because He knows it all anyway. But the Lord knows each and every secret that we have. We can't keep any secret from the Lord. Again, we are naked and open before the Lord every second of our lives. God knows exactly where we stand with Him. I'm going to flip over here real fast to the book of Jeremiah. It says, "Then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. Before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations." The Lord knew that we were going to be here on November 9th, 2014, at 6 p.m. He knew I was going to be preaching. He knew exactly who was going to be present. But not only did he know that, I mean, he knew me before I was born, before I was conceived. He knew exactly where we were going to be and what we were going to be doing. We can't hide anything from Him. We can't hide anything from Him. So many times I think we like to look at other people and we like to point a lot of fingers. I think we can do it in church. We can do it outside of church. We can do it to other churches. You know, we do a really good job. As I was saying, you know, just we were talking a little bit this morning in Sunday school, kind of like the political ads. You know, a lot of times they do a really, really good job of bringing up all the negative things about their opponent, but at the end of the day, nobody really knows what they actually stand for. And sometimes I think we do, you know, we try to fool ourselves to think that that's not the case, but sometimes I think we do that in our own lives. We like to point fingers at other people because it makes us feel good about ourselves. We were talking a couple months ago in our Wednesday night service at Faith. And one of the things that we were talking about is how, you know, a lot of times we set our bar just above the bar of the world. Rather than, you know, we say, well, you know, the world is about here, and we're about right here, so we're doing pretty good, because we're better than the world. But what we don't realize is that the standard that we are supposed to look to is Christ. He is the standard. So us being down here isn't very good. Though we're just a touch above the world, you know, we're better than they are, as we like to say and like to think a lot of times. Our bar is here. And so we need to strive to be there. Not only in our actions, not only in our words, but also even in our thoughts. I think so many times nowadays, and I think most of you would probably agree, so many times we get kind of jaded and we get kind of adapted and we see a lot of different things, whether it be on TV or on the radio or in our own lives. There's so many things that we seem to just take as normal. That, you know, the things, like I said, especially, you know, that are on TV and that we see, that I think, you know, 50 or 100 years ago people would be really appalled about. And I know some of you folks can understand that are here this evening. But a lot of times we become so adapted, we become so used to that in our lives that again, our standard gets dropped. It gets dropped to just above the world rather than up here where it needs to be. Again, the Lord knows our hearts. He knows our thoughts. He knows everything about us. And our prayer should be, Lord, purify my heart. You know, not only be with me in my daily life and the things that I do, but Lord, be with me in the things that I say. Be with me in the things that I think. There's a motivational speaker, and I can't think of who it is, but he says, you know, thoughts are things. And in the eyes of the Lord, they are. Our thoughts and our deep desires, the things that we hold deep inside, the things that we put first in our lives, those are important to the Lord. You know, God is, as we know, God can do anything that He wants to do. And if we're not in His will, if we're not doing what He wants us to do, and if we're not doing the correct actions, if we're not thinking the right things, Lord will chastise us. If we run, if we try to run from whatever the Lord wants us to do, just as he did with Jonah. You know, He called Jonah, wanted him to go to Nineveh, and Jonah said, No, I'm not going there. I'm gonna get on this boat. I'm not going there. And you guys know what happened from there. So the sea welled up, and they found Jonah below and said, you know, come on up here. They quickly realized, the other guys on the boat, that he was the reason, that he was running from the Lord, and he was the reason that all this was going on. So of course, he goes into the ocean and into the belly of a whale for 3 days. Sometimes if we're not right with the Lord, that's where we will end up. Again, we need to examine our own lives, because so many times we want to look to others and say, well, we're pretty good compared to them, rather than looking to the Lord and saying, we're not good at all compared to Him. The Lord knows our thoughts. He knows everything about us. If you want to flip with me, I'm going to read the 139th Psalm. It says, O Lord, Thou hast searched me and know me. Thou knowest my down sitting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, Thou knowest it altogether. Thou hast beset me behind and before, and laid Thine hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain unto it. Whither shall I go from my spirit, or whither shall I flee from Thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, Thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, Thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall Thy hand lead me, and Thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light unto me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from Thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to Thee. For Thou hast possessed my reins, Thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise Thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are Thy works, that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from Thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect, and in Thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. How precious also are Thy thoughts unto me, O God! How great is the sum of them! If I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with Thee. Surely Thou wilt slay the wicked, O God. Depart from me, therefore, ye bloody men. For they speak against Thee wickedly, and Thine enemies take Thy name in vain. Do not hate them, O Lord, that hate Thee. And am not I grieved with those that rise up against Thee? I hate them with perfect hatred. I count them mine enemies. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. As we take a step back and look at our own lives, let's each and every one do a self-examination. You know, so many times, as Dr. Collins can attest to, in healthcare, people talk about, you know, self-examination. You know, be aware of what's going on with your own health. Examine yourself. As we think about school, as we think about growing in knowledge, a lot of times we do a self-examination. We have flashcards and study sessions and all kinds of things. But sometimes we forget that we need to do a spiritual self-examination as well. Those of us that have been saved, though we know the Lord, we can still be out of His will. We can still stand where we don't need to stand and be where we don't need to be. As we examine our lives, let's not only look at our actions, let's not only look at our words, but let's look at our thoughts and ask ourselves, you know, would the Lord be pleased with these things? That's all I've got for this evening. Thankful to the Lord, for the Lord and His message, because it was to me. I know exactly who it was to. And I hope it was a blessing to those that are here. Ask that you just continue to keep me in your thoughts and prayers as we go and do our best to do God's will. Turn the service over.